Chapter 109. Oh yes, apostrophe rejoined Mrs. Browdy. John had done. John fixed tonight, because she had settled that she would go and drink tea with her father. And to make quite sure of there being nothing amiss, and of your being quite alone with us, he settled to go out there and fetch her home. Apostrophe, that was a very good arrangement, apostrophe said Nicholas, though I am sorry to be the occasion of so much trouble. Apostrophe, not the least in the world, apostrophe returned Mrs. Browdy, for we have looked forward to see you, John, and I have with the greatest possible pleasure. Do you know, Mr. Nickleby, apostrophe said Mrs. Browdy, with her archest smile, that I really think Fanny Squeers was very fond of you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am very much obliged to her, apostrophe said Nicholas. But upon my word, I never aspired to making any impression upon her virgin heart. Apostrophe, how you talk. Apostrophe, apostrophe, tittered Mrs. Browdy. No, but do you know that really seriously now, and without any joking, I was given to understand by Fanny herself, that you had made an offer to her, and that you two were going to be engaged quite solemn and regular. Apostrophe, was you, ma'am, was you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried a shrill female voice, was you given to understand that I was going to be engaged to an assassinating thief that shed the gore of my pa? Do you think, ma'am, that I was very fond of such dirt beneath my feet, as I couldn't condescend to touch with kitchen tongs, without blacking and crocking myself by the contract? Do you, ma'am, do you? Oh, base and degrading tilde. Apostrophe, apostrophe, with these reproaches Miss Squeers flung the door wide open, and disclosed to the eyes of the astonished Browdies and Nicholas, not only her own symmetrical form, arrayed in the chaste white garments before described, a little dirtier, but the form of her brother and father, the pair of Wackfords. This is the end, is it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, continued Miss Squeers, who, being excited, aspirated her H's strongly. This is the end, is it, of all my forbearance and friendship for that double-faced thing, that viper, that mermaid? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Miss Squeers hesitated a long time for this last epithet, and brought it out triumphantly as last, as if it quite clinched the business. This is the end, is it, of all my bearing with her deceitfulness, her lowness, her falseness, her laying herself out to catch the admiration of vulgar minds, in a way which made me blush for my apostrophe, gender, apostrophe suggested Mr. Squeers, regarding the spectators with a malevolent eye, literally a malevolent eye. Yes, apostrophe said Miss Squeers. But I thank my stars, that my ma's of the same apostrophe, here. Apostrophe, apostrophe, remarked Mr. Squeers, and I wish she was here to have a scratch at this company. Apostrophe, this is the end, is it, apostrophe said Miss Squeers, tossing her head, and looking contemptuously at the floor, of my taking notice of that rubbishing creature, and demeaning myself to patronize her? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh. Come, apostrophe rejoined Mrs. Browdy, disregarding all the endeavors of her spouse to restrain her, and forcing herself into a front row, don't talk such nonsense as that. Apostrophe, have I not patronized you, ma'am? Apostrophe, apostrophe demanded Miss Squeers. No, apostrophe returned Mrs. Browdy. I will not look for blushes in such a quarter, apostrophe said Miss Squeers, haughtily, for that countenance is a stranger to everything but ignominiousness and red-faced boldness. Apostrophe, I say, apostrophe interposed John Browdy, nettled by these accumulated attacks on his wife, draw it mild. Apostrophe, you, Mr. Browdy, apostrophe said Miss Squeers, taking him up very quickly, I have no feeling for you, sir, but one of unliquidated pity. Apostrophe, oh. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said John. No, apostrophe said Miss Squeers, looking sideways at her parent. Although I am a queer bridesmaid, and shan't be a bride in a hurry, and although my husband will be in luck, I entertain no sentiments towards you, sir, but sentiments of pity. Apostrophe, here Miss Squeers looked sideways at her father again, who looked sideways at her, as much as to say, there you had him. Apostrophe, I know what you've got to go through, apostrophe said Miss Squeers, shaking her curls violently. I know what life is before you, and if he was my bitterest and deadliest enemy, I could wish you nothing worse. Apostrophe, couldn't you wish to be married to him yourself, if that was the case? Apostrophe, inquired Mrs. Browdy, with great suavity of manner. Oh, ma'am, how witty you are, apostrophe retorted Miss Squeers with a low curtsy, almost as witty, ma'am, as you are clever. How very clever it was in you, ma'am, to choose a time when I had gone to tea with my pa, and was sure not to come back without being fetched. What a pity you never thought that other people might be as clever as yourself and spoil your plans. Apostrophe, you won't vex me, child, with such airs as these, apostrophe said the late Miss Price, assuming the matron. Don't miss me, ma'am, if you please, apostrophe returned Miss Squeers, sharply. I'll not bear it. Is this the end, apostrophe, dang it, eh, apostrophe cried John Browdy, impatiently. Say he say out, Fanny, and make sure it's the end, and didn't ask nobody whether it is or not. Apostrophe, thanking you for your advice which was not required, Mr. Browdy, apostrophe returned Miss Squeers, with laborious politeness, have the goodness not to presume to meddle with my Christian name. Even my pity shall never make me forget what's due to myself, Mr. Browdy. Tilda, apostrophe said Miss Squeers, with such a sudden accession of violence, that John started in his boots, I throw you off forever, miss. I abandon you. I renounce you. I wouldn't, apostrophe cried Miss Squeers in a solemn voice, have a child named Tilda, not to save it from its grave. Apostrophe, as for the matter of that, apostrophe observed John, it'll be time many of, to think about naming of it when it comes. Apostrophe, John. Apostrophe, interposed his wife. Don't tease her. Apostrophe, oh. Tease, indeed. Apostrophe, cried Miss Squeers, bridling up. Tease, indeed. He. Tease too. No, don't tease her. Consider her feelings, pray. Apostrophe, if it's fated, that listeners are never to hear any good of themselves. Apostrophe said Mrs. Browdy, I can't help it, and I am very sorry for it. But I will say, Fanny, that times out of number I have spoken so kindly of you behind your back, that even you could have found no fault with what I said. Apostrophe, oh, I dare say not, ma'am. Apostrophe, cried Miss Squeers, with another curtsy. Best thanks to you for your goodness, and begging and praying you, not to be hard upon me another time. Apostrophe, I don't know, apostrophe resumed Mrs. Browdy, that I have said anything very bad of you, even now. At all events, what I did say was quite true, but if I have, I am very sorry for it, and I beg your pardon. You have said much worse of me, scores of times, Fanny. But I have never borne any malice to you, and I hope you will not bear any to me. Apostrophe, Miss Squeers made no more direct reply than surveying her former friend from top to toe, and elevating her nose in the air with ineffable disdain. But some indistinct allusions to a puss, apostrophe and a minx, apostrophe and a contemptible creature, escaped her, and this, together with a severe biting of the lips, great difficulty in swallowing, and very frequent comings and goings of breath, seemed to imply that feelings were swelling in Miss Squeers' bosom too great for utterance. While the foregoing conversation was proceeding, Master Wackford, finding himself unnoticed, and feeling his preponderating inclinations strong upon him, had by little and little sidled up to the table, and attacked the food with such slight skirmishing as drawing his fingers round, and round the inside of the plates, and afterwards sucking them with infinite relish. picking the bread, and dragging the pieces over the surface of the butter, pocketing lumps of sugar, pretending all the time to be absorbed in thought, and so forth. Finding that no interference was attempted with these small liberties, he gradually mounted to greater, and, after helping himself to a moderately good cold collation, was, by this time, deep in the pie. Nothing of this had been unobserved by Mr. Squeers, who, so long as the attention of the company was fixed upon other objects, hugged himself to think that his son and heir should be fattening at the enemy's expense. But there being now an appearance of a temporary calm, in which the proceedings of little Wackford could scarcely fail to be observed, he feigned to be aware of the circumstance for the first time, and inflicted upon the face of that young gentleman a slap that made the very teacups ring. Eating! ! Cried Mr. Squeers, of what his father's enemies has left. It's fit to go and poison you, you unnatural boy! It weren't hurt him, said John, apparently very much relieved by the prospect of having a man in the quarrel. Let un eat. I wish the whole school was here. I'd give him summat to stay their unfortunate stomachs why, if I spent the last penny I had. Squeers scowled at him with the worst and most malicious expression of which his face was capable. It was a face of remarkable capability too, in that way, and shook his fist stealthily. Coom, schoolmeister, said John, didn't make a fool o' thyself, for if I was to sheek mine only once thou'd fa doon why the window it. It was you, was it, returned Squeers, that helped off my runaway boy? It was you, was it? Returned John, in a loud tone. Yes, it wa me, coom, wad o that? It wa me. Noo then. You hear him say he did it, my child. Said Squeers, appealing to his daughter. You hear him say he did it. Did it. Cried John. I'll tell ye more, hear this too. If thou'd got another runaway boy, I'd do it again. If thou'd got 20 runaway boys, I'd do it 20 times o'er, and 20 more to thought. And I tell thee more, said John, knew my blood is oop, that thou'rt an old rascal, and that it's weal for thou best an old un, or I'd harpooned at thee to flour when thou told an honest man who thou'd licked that poor chap in tea courch. An honest man. Cried Squeers, with a sneer. Ah! An honest man, replied John. Honest in aught, but ever putting legs under seam table why such as thou? Scandal! Said Squeers, exultingly. Two witnesses to it. Wackford knows the nature of an oath, he does. We shall have you there, sir. Rascal, eh? Mr. Squeers took out his pocketbook and made a note of it. Very good. I should say that was worth full £20 at the next assizes, without the honesty, sir. Soizes, cried John, thou'd better not talk to me o' soizes. Yorkshire schools have been shown up at soizes afore new, mun, and it's a ticklish subject to revive, I can tell ye. Mr. Squeers shook his head in a threatening manner, looking very white with passion, and taking his daughter's arm, and dragging little Wackford by the hand, retreated towards the door. As for you, said Squeers, turning round and addressing Nicholas, who, as he had caused him to smart pretty soundly on a former occasion, purposely abstained from taking any part in the discussion, see if I ain't down upon you before long. You'll go a kidnapping of boys, will you? Take care their fathers don't turn up, Mark, that take care their fathers don't turn up, and send them back to me to do as I like with, in spite of you. I am not afraid of that, replied Nicholas, shrugging his shoulders contemptuously, and turning away. Ain't you? Retorted Squeers, with a diabolical look. Now then, come along. apostrophe, I leave such society, with my pa, forever, apostrophe, said Miss Squeers, looking contemptuously and loftily round. I am defiled by breathing the air with such creatures. Poor Mr. Brownie. He. I do pity him, that I do, he's so deluded. He. Artful and designing tilde. ... With this sudden relapse into the sternest and most majestic wrath, Miss Squeers swept from the room, and having sustained her dignity until the last possible moment, was heard to sob and scream and struggle in the passage. John Browdy remained standing behind the table, looking from his wife to Nicholas, and back again, with his mouth wide open, until his hand accidentally fell upon the tankard of ale, when he took it up, and having obscured his features therewith for some time, drew a long breath, handed it over to Nicholas, and rang the bell. Here, waiter, ... said John, briskly. Look alive here. Tack these things awa, and let's have sumac broiled for super very comfortable, and plenty o' the 10 o'clock. Bring some brandy and some waiter, and a pair o' slippers the largest pair in the house, and be quick about it. Dash my wig. ... said John, rubbing his hands, there's no ganging oot to neat, new, to fetch anybody wom, and ecod, we'll begin to spend the evening in earnest. ... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.